Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield. Can we understand and appreciate our historic icons without idolizing or turning racist figures into gods? How do we hold past figures to today's standards? What steps should be taken to refute or de-emphasize historical figures who held racist views? Joining me today are students from Florida High to discuss these and other related issues. I welcome Rachel Johnson. Rachel is a junior. SGA and FCA are her thing at Florida High.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. William Pfeiffer. William is a sophomore. He's into sports and just hanging out with his friends.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. And Lauren Shirley, she is a senior this year. Last time we'll be seeing her, I'm sure, but we'll miss her. She is into journalism and SGA and sports and yearbook.
Great to be back.
Well, I am so glad to have you. Maybe we can steal you a couple more times before you march.
Yes, of course.
Okay. My question to you is, first of all, I guess, how important is it that we understand our history? You know, when we think about our history, well over 1,000 places have names that may be offensive. Francis Epps, the declared founder of Florida State University, was a wealthy slave owner and the grandson of Thomas Jefferson. He was the founding member of St. John's Episcopal Church Mission in 1829, and this was built by slaves in 1837. So how important is it that we understand our history? Whomever.
I think that it's very important to understand your history, because I think that many people get bothered by things and mm-hmm. speak about things without being fully informed before they speak about these things.
Okay. All right. What do you think, William?
I think it's important to also know your history, because it's a saying that goes around. I don't know the exact words, but mm-hmm. those who don't know history are bound to repeat it. I think that's it's pretty wise.
Right. And Lauren, where do you sit on this?
I also think that it's important to know our history so we can see how we've progressed, I guess, mm-hmm. views that we once had. And I don't know, just so it can set a precedent for you to compare, I guess, where we are right now to what we were.
Right. Yeah. It helps us to know where we've been, so maybe we don't make those same mistakes over and over again. You know, you need to know who you are, like you said, Lauren, what you're about. Now, can we understand history without idolizing figures who are racist? I'm sure you all are very much aware of the movement that's going on nationally with historic figures, whether they're names of streets, whether they're statues, who may, during their time, have been slave owners or may have massacred millions of Native Americans, whatever may have been the case. And now we are revisiting this history. And I wonder, do you feel like we can hold our history without idolizing the figures that are questionable, the figures that are considered racist, or, you know, how do you figure? I'll start with you, Lauren.
I definitely feel like there's a separation here where we should separate knowing the history and also practicing the history still today. We have to realize that it was the past. And I feel like people in America, their thing is, oh, it's part of our history, part of our culture, part of our heritage. We need to recognize that. We need to keep it going. But I feel like it's silly because you wouldn't put, like, Hitler Lane or, like, a statue of Hitler up because that was – it's great to know history and know what happened and be aware, but it's not okay to glorify what happened and continue to keep it a part of your daily life, I guess. Just, to, like, know the facts mm-hmm. and stuff, but just not
– So you're saying it's good to be cognizant of it, being aware, knowing what it is, but maybe we don't need to elevate it to that next level.
Yeah.
Is that, am I paraphrasing?
Yes, basically you can educate citizens on what happened, like slavery-wise and all that stuff, but you don't have to make, I guess, statues that represent people.
Mm. Okay. All right. Rachel, what do you think?
I think that on the statues, if they were on, like, on the monuments, if they were to still to be standing, that there should be plaques that state that this is not something that should be glorified. These people should not be glorified, that this is a part of our history. This is what it needs to be. This is our past. This is something that should not be repeated, and this is why it's here. This is not – the person's not being glorified for what they did.
Okay.
If that makes sense. I don't think that – because I know that in Germany, they don't talk about Hitler at all. Like, that's not something that they teach in history at all. And I think that if I was a child in Germany and they didn't teach this to us, it would be kind of like a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be something that would be like, oh, what if that really did happen? Like, it would be more like, oh, hey, that's kind of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be something like we learned off of, like, hey, that's not – like, it might be something that was repeated and not something that would not be put, in, like, in the past.
Okay. All right. So what you're saying really is – or at least what I hear you saying, you're telling me, and using Germany as an example, is that we do need to be aware of our history. But
yes.
We may not need to glorify those historical figures – who held views that are in opposition to where we are now.
Exactly.
Okay. I see you nodding your head, William. So tell me where you're coming from.
I think that basically covered majority of my point of view, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. It's not a point of view of mine. It's just, like, confused mm-hmm. on maybe, yeah, it was the past. So what was normal to them is not normal to us now. So maybe they should not be idolized, but okay, maybe they should be idolized for something other than what has changed now. So if, for instance, someone like those statues of a slave owner or whatever, maybe they were also a big contribution to the economy or something like that was like really important otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they should be idolized. They should still be idolized, but not for –
not for the negative.
Yes, not for the negative.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, how do colleges or what do you recommend that colleges and schools or whatever, cities even, how do they continue to honor these famous, you know, citizens or alumni who were racist? I mean, what should they do when I'm thinking of statues that are already there? Okay, should they add an additional plaque to them? Should they remove them? Because you raised a good point, right? I mean, why would we remove it? It is a part of their history. Now, it may not be a pretty part. It may not be a part that we're proud of, but they did contribute to history. I guess, what do you think? How should they handle it? How should it be handled?
I know that at the University of Virginia, that this was an issue because
mm-hmm.
of Jefferson
mm-hmm.
and that a lot of the mm-hmm. students were raising an issue with that. And
right. Let me just interject that here. Thomas Jefferson was the founder of the University of Virginia and a slave owner. His statue stands tall on the campus, and it is the focus of a controversy. When classes began back in 1825 up until 1865, slaves lived and worked on the Charlottesville campus. Slaves made bricks for the building, they grew vegetables, and they served as butlers. Now it is a big issue that you have raised. And so I've just given a little history to it. You may continue.
My only issue with that whole thing is that the students who raised the issue is when they applied to that college, they knew that that was an issue. And Thomas Jefferson was a founding father. Mm-hmm. And all the founding fathers at that time had slaves. And almost like that was at that time, they knew what they were applying to.
Mm-hmm.
And in that scenario, I think that that monument, they could just add a plaque saying that this, he was the founder. He was also a slaveholder, but that is not something that they are proud of.
Okay. All right. That's the way of handling it. What do you think, William?
I think that basically goes on to what I was saying last time when I was saying it depends on what they're being idolized for. He created a very renowned university, which mm-hmm. I think that's something people should idolize him for. And I'm not saying don't mention that, like, don't mention all his negative sides because it's good to, like, self-reflect and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't count it as idolizing him. I don't know how to put it.
I
disagree.
Well, let me just throw this in. Okay. But what I hear you saying is, you know, should we maybe refute or de-emphasize, you know, the negatives that he did? Okay, I don't know. Is that what you were trying
to? I wouldn't say de-emphasize. I would say reflect on, if that makes sense.
Okay, all right. Lauren?
I feel like, okay, yes, you might have done great things with your life and done good and contributed well to the community, but you also were owning other people and mistreating other people poorly. So I feel like that shouldn't be overlooked, or not that it would be overlooked, mm-hmm. but I don't think that you should add good things besides things like the shooting that happened at the concert. I saw all of these headlines that were
in Las Vegas, you're talking about. Okay.
Like, concert shooter was also like great father and all this stuff. Like, no, don't glorify that. Like, he just massacred these people. So mm-hmm. I disagree about that. I don't think that they should be idolized. I think that history should be taught the way it happened. But I feel like if a person made poor decisions, they shouldn't be, idolized. Like, people on death row aren't idolized for, like, good things that they do.
What? And let me just throw this in. We're going to take a break, and I'll come back to you. But what about the fact that we may be taking things out of context, okay? I mean, if that's what was happening at that time, everyone was owning slaves. Just think about it. Throw it out there. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a quick break. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me, I have my crew from Florida High, three dynamic students. I'm always glad to have them, Lauren Shirley, William Pfeiffer, and Rachel Johnson. William, I had to interrupt you, and you were getting ready to say something.
So going back on what Lauren said, okay. I'm not saying I agree, and I'm not saying I disagree, but how she was saying, what would you say again? Can you mind repeating that?
Basically, people shouldn't be – things you do that are poor decisions, like grave errors, shouldn't be put aside to also reflect on good things that you've done.
Yes. Okay. So this is basically like a point – just more, something to add on. Back then, everyone in the South basically – there was many slave owners. So I'm not saying it was – a good thing. Right. I'm just saying it was the social norm, and it's not always a good thing to follow, but it's something that just happened, and you can't really hide that. But the shooting, everyone knows now, shooting's not something like idolized or good. So it's just, that was just a little point of view.
Oh, okay. I think the time period makes a difference.
And that's what I was saying in taking it out of
context. Sure,
the context. Yeah. Go on. Go elaborate.
I just think the time period, I can't think of a good example of now of what a social, like, norm would be, but this might make people mad, like,
that's
all now.
Right.
But, like, say 2,000 years from now, if the world is completely filled of vegans, and then people, like, if the people back then, or, like, the vegans then, are then, you know what I mean?
In the past.
Or in the future. In the future. Okay. Are mad at us for eating meats.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like,
if that,
like, this is our norm, us eating meat, or for certain people. Like, there are certain people who are vegans now, and that could be, like, the non-slave holders.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As an example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like we have to keep in mind that they consciously knew what they were doing. They, the North obviously wasn't supporting slavery, so not everybody was a slave owner. Approximately,
right.
like, 1% of people in the South were slave owners, but most people were racist.
No. Right.
Something around that. Mm-hmm. But either way, they made the conscious decision to make poor choices and be racist, even though they were built on Christian views. But if you read the Bible, it tells you not to, you know, we know this, but basically, I don't know. They just made a conscious decision.
Could it be, I'm thinking, could it be more constructive to leave these, you know, disputed names and facilities, but teach about what they, the negatives of what they represented? I mean, teach about slavery. Teach about racism. Teach about segregation. I mean, is that a way to address it? I mean, are we trying to rewrite history if we just totally discard the names and the monuments? Because it doesn't change anything.
I don't think...
I
don't think we're discarding their name or anything. I just feel like times have changed and we don't want to see a figure that represents hate when people who are minorities now feel oppressed as well still. So I feel like they just don't want that reminder.
Okay.
But I feel like history is still being taught about racism and slavery. We just don't need statues.
So what I hear, let me put it another way. What I hear you all saying is that it's important to understand the many dimensions of the legacy. I mean, would that encompass what you're saying? Because what you're saying is that, yes, they had these ideas, they felt this way, we recognize this, we're not going to glorify it, but this was a component of them. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at the various dimensions of this individual's legacy.
Yeah, I feel like, one, if they're important enough to be taught about, or taught to, if that mm-hmm. makes sense, they did something. I don't think we should hide the good or hide the bad. I just think, look at it kind of like scars of our country, and just, you can't hide them, but just know what they stand for, and whether it's positive or negative.
Do we take the statues down? Do we change?
I think when it comes to the statues, it should be on a case-by-case basis. For example, mm-hmm. for example, Stone Mountain, it was for, like, the Daughters of Liberty, or the Daughters of can't even say that, but it was paid for by the KKK. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that is something that should be standing. Like, that shouldn't be, in my opinion, it shouldn't be kept. And I think it's like a case by case basis, like when it was erected, who it was paid for, sponsored by. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. And I think many of the ones in the Jim Crow era it's sketchy. I mean, I think many of them are on a case by case basis.
So you're just saying really it needs to be on an individual
basis. Yeah, I don't think that it should be like all monuments should be completely gone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we should just look at them case by case, because if you just say all of them are gone, then you are erasing history if you don't look at them specifically.
Well, more than 1,000 places have names that individuals have found offensive. In Pennsylvania, there's a Jew town. In California, you can swim in Chinaman Creek. In Texas, you can visit Dead Negro Draw. In Minnesota, you can camp near Cripple Lake. You know, the list goes on and on and on. How do we address these names? Should they be changed? Are they offensive? Do you find any of this offensive? I can read your face. You're like, oh, I find it offensive.
I find this offensive. I wouldn't want to visit something like that.
So how should these, I mean, in just your opinion, what do you think, how do we address these?
I don't really get how you would even come up with names like that, to be honest with you. That's, well, in my opinion, absolutely horrible.
I know. Why would you want to put something like that on your itinerary?
I mean, we need to be on television, because folks should be able to see your, all are like, in what? those places, you know, like, do
who
exist.
Who named those?
It's not even controversial. It's just that those are bad names.
Mm-hmm.
That's, mm-hmm. I think that's horrible, to be honest with you.
Comments?
I think that those are pretty much straight up bad, but there's other ones that I've heard are like different like football teams and stuff, like Indians, Redskins, and stuff like that, that people find offensive. But I feel like those should be also case by case, and you just address people of that heritage in groups that identify as that, and you just like sit down with them and talk to them about how it makes them feel, and you look at the history behind the name, I guess, just to determine if it's...
Yeah, because I know that in many cases, not all people who identify with Redskins find that offensive.
Mm-hmm. And I was just going to say, well, you think about the Rickards Redskins, and they changed their name a long time ago.
But all of the names that you just said are completely offensive.
The list you gave us was
pretty bad.
Like, I don't know who you have to talk to think those are offensive.
We think
those are offensive.
But again, everybody does not. Everyone has their own opinion. Everybody doesn't think they are offensive. So whose history should be reflected in the names of places? That's another question. I mean, all of us found it offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, many of the names can be seen as offensive and demeaning. They could be demeaning to African Americans, Native Americans, Italians, Mexicans, Chinese, Muslim. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on and on. Where do we stop? And what do we do? And how do we handle it? I'm just throwing it out there to you. You know, views can change. Number one, views can change over time. And these names date back decades, hundreds of years, you know. There were times where minorities lived alongside whites. Blacks, whites, Mexicans all lived together in different places. So even when names are not offensive, they can still generate emotional debate, okay? What? Silence? Nobody has anything to say? Should these names be erased from the historical archives?
I think that's another case by case.
From historical archives? Like, if you go to a museum, you won't learn about them?
Yeah, that would
No, definitely not. I feel like
it's part of our history.
Mm-hmm. Part of history. You need to recognize that,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No matter how horrible it is or not.
So it doesn't matter. I mean, it does need... To be
addressed.
Yeah. Okay.
There's some awful stuff in history.
Right.
I mean, part of our history. We have to learn about it.
You can't pick and choose. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Can't change
it. And we have to remember the context under which it was created. Okay. And looking at the First Amendment, identifies the fundamental rights that Americans are entitled to. I mean, freedom of speech, religion, press, peaceful assembly, the right to petition the government. What are the limits of freedom of speech, and how much intolerance should society accept in trying to accommodate freedom of speech? I mean, how far do we go? What is freedom of speech? First of all, let's look at it this way. What does freedom of speech mean to you? I say freedom of speech. What does it conjure up in your mind? What is it?
I think it's the right to express your beliefs.
Okay.
That's the way I see it.
All right.
But I think that there's, like, more to that, because the right to express your opinion and beliefs without inflicting on anyone else's rights, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
I also agree. It's you have the right to possess the belief that you want or say what you would like, as long as no one else is being harmed and it's not causing any, just harm to other people.
I mean, for example, I'm sure you have, and you'll have to tell me, you know, a code, a dress code of different paraphernalia or different statements that can be on what you wear to school. Do you? I'm sure you do.
You may not know about it. Yeah, there's obviously limits.
There are limits. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And so at what point do you say stop? Do you say, no, this is not acceptable? Okay.
When it becomes driven out of hate, I guess, then. Because you're entitled to your own belief. It might offend somebody else what you believe because they don't believe the same thing. But as long as it's not hurting them or harming them, then.
I remember not that long ago, I had students from Florida High, and we were talking about there was an issue where the Confederate flag. Mm-hmm. Okay, you remember, was being, waved in the parking lot or whatever. How did you feel about that? What was your comments? How did you address that?
To be honest, I was too young.
I was. No, but, even if you weren't there, though,
Happened to Childs.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about
Maybe
that.
Maybe it was Childs. No, I think.
Wasn't that this year?
There may have been this year. No, maybe it was last year. It had to be last year. We haven't talked about it this year. But in any event, it doesn't matter when. My point is, how do you address it? What do you do? Whatever school it may be at, whether it was Childs, my correction, maybe it wasn't Florida High. But how do you address this? Every school has some kind of racist incident. Okay, so regardless, every one of them, they all have it.
I feel that also goes back to what our definition of freedom of speech was do what you want, say what you want, as long as you're not inflicting on anyone else's rights. And they're not saying that whoever was waving the flag can't have the flag. That's not what they were saying. They were saying don't portray it and wave it around like it's superior to someone else.
Yeah, like rubbing it in someone else's face.
Yeah, it's not what you do. That's what the limitation, I believe, is.
And on school grounds, I think that had something to do with it. Okay.
If you have it in your truck or car, whatever you want, whatever you have, that's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
They can't tell you what to have.
The problem is when you start...
When you start waving it.
Okay.
That's the problem.
Then do you feel like you have to shed... Now, think about what I'm saying. Feel like you have to shed your constitutional rights at the schoolhouse gate.
I 100% agree that some of your rights do leave when you walk into school campus.
All right. I want to hear from the rest of you.
It's school to school,
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Each school has their own set of conduct that
there are going to be some basics that are going to apply to all of them. There's going to be, consistency with some of them, no matter what school you're at, I would think. Okay. And I'm just saying, how do you feel? What do you think, Laura?
I mean, I think the rules are there because of, there's so many people at one place that you just have to have something set. It doesn't necessarily mean that, your rights are being, snatched from you. Mm-hmm. It's just to benefit.
To not cause
To conflict. Benefit everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basic ground.
Right. Okay, that's fine. Freedom of speech also includes the right not to speak. Okay? Not to salute the flag. Not or to wear black armbands to school to protest a war. Okay? What is your position on that? I mean, individuals who do not pledge allegiance. Some of it may be religious.
We just did a study on all of those court cases in our government class, and I agree with each and every one of them. I think that you have the right to do what you want to do as long as it doesn't harm anybody else. If you don't want to stand for the national anthem, you feel offended by what America is standing for right now, then don't do that. If I want to do it, then I'll do it. If I don't want to do it, then I won't. If I want to wear an armband, I'm going to do that. But I'm not going to stop you from doing something because I don't have the same opinion as you. As long as it's not causing harm to others, like, then it's fine.
I mean, when you said, you also added that you don't have to speak. I think that's completely fine. You can keep your opinion to yourself. That's not harming anyone else. As long as you're not harming anyone else or infringing on anyone's rights, I think you're good to go.
You're fine. What about, and that leads into, I mean, we're digressing a little bit, but we're still talking about dealing with controversial races, you know, ideology, okay? What about, you know, this current, with the football players kneeling during the national anthem, okay? You know, some folks say, yes, they have a right to do it. Others are just incensed by it. And it's really difficult to understand, at least for me, because kneeling is not anything that's offensive at all. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it escaped me. Not that I'm, you know, trying to say one thing or another. I tell you, hold your thoughts, because it looks like I need to take a break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and we are looking at various controversies. We're going to take a break, but we'll get right back at you.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and we are having a very stimulating conversation. I had to interrupt you, William.
I don't stand with them, and I don't stand against them, to be honest. I don't have an opinion on that, mainly because I don't know enough information about everything that they're for, but it's, I can see why it's controversial. I can see both sides, both point of views, so I'm kind of neutral, to be honest.
All right.
I think that everyone has their rights, but the only thing that I do think is that they're kind of on a world stage in the fact that everyone, they are on a field, they have so many fans, everyone's going to be watching them. And whatever they believe, we do have men overseas right now fighting for us. And that I do believe in.
But I don't think that they're, you know, negating that. I think that they recognize that we have people fighting for us. That was not the point. Yes, ma'am. I see you, Lauren.
Okay, so, I mean, I see where Rachel is coming from, but you have to realize I agree with their decision to kneel. I mean, I don't know if I do the same thing, but I think that they're totally fine by doing that because what they're protesting wasn't the flag or the national anthem. They're just using that as a catalyst to other issues that are going on with minorities in America. And I also feel like the argument that people are overseas and, like, fighting for us so they should stand, like, yeah, but we also, they're fighting for our First Amendment right, and that covers that. So just because you don't like it doesn't mean that. I feel like we shouldn't censor things, but I get that it's the NFL and that they have different rules, so.
Just to add on, they unlike college players, one, get paid, and they two, paid. They are paid to be out there for the national anthem. College football players, they're not on the field for the national anthem, but every game the NFL requires both teams to be present for the national anthem. Is that correct? I'm almost positive that's correct.
I guess so. I mean, yes, they do get paid. There's no doubt
about that. No, I know they get paid, but I'm saying, I agree.
I mean, I guess they are required to be out there for the next, and they were.
Yeah, no, they are. That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, they're out there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if participation was required or not.
That particular idiosyncrasy, I just don't, you know, I'm not aware of. Yes, ma'am.
Also, the fact, okay, Colin Kaepernick was one of the first people to go ahead and kneel. Mm-hmm. But, yes, he's paid a lot of money. But since he's paid a lot of money, he's on such a high platform that so many people watch that when he knelt, or however you say it, that he was basically sending a message to everybody that watches him.
Raising awareness.
He's using his platform for what he believes in, which I think that he should have the right to do. Like, singers and artists, they can use their platform to, you know, talk out about different things. He was using his platform to talk about discrimination that him and other people similar to him are experiencing.
Okay. And along with Colin Kaepernick, I was just going to stay on that. Recently, he won the Muhammad Ali Award, which I was impressed by, and when he was brought up, his speech, what he said, I don't remember verbatim what he said, but I was very impressed with, and again, I'm not for what he does, and I'm not against what he does, I'm neutral, really,
right.
But I was very impressed on what he had to say and how he addressed the issue.
And he also was voted, I believe, Man of the Year by GQ.
He was.
Right. Okay. Well, moving it right along, we're in the last section of our program today. According to the FBI, a hate group is one that promotes animosity, hostility, and malice against persons belonging to a different race, religion, disability, sexual orientation, or ethnicity, national origin. These groups include the Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazi and white supremacist organizations that promote the hatred of blacks and Jews and immigrants and others. The Southern Poverty Law Center has documented an explosive rise in the number of hate groups since the year 2000. It seems to be driven largely by anger over our country's changing demographics. Since 2014, the number of hate groups have grown by 17%. In your opinion, why are we seeing this increase in hate groups across the nation? Go ahead,
Laura. I think that since America's grown a lot since slavery, I guess we can compare to that, but grown a lot over, I guess, the past 10 years since we first had our first African-American president who was a Democrat, who was very progressive with gay rights and all this stuff. Not to stereotype, but a lot of Caucasians are conservative and stuff. And I feel like they think that their rights are being infringed upon, that they're not superior anymore. So I think that with all this change going on, they feel kind of like they're losing power. So I think that that could have led to the increase of hate groups, that they feel like they're losing power.
Mm-hmm. And they talk about the change in demographics. I mean, what is it? One out of every two people will be a person of color. And within the next, 20 years or so? Okay, that's what's estimated. So that's a major change for the United States, okay? A major change. So the demographics are changing. Yeah.
To go off of what you said, Lauren, I think, yeah, basically it's like a big blame game. Like, all this conflict and all this, like, adversity and all this stuff, I'm going to blame you for this because of I can't control it and it's not my fault, so it's probably your fault. And that's basically what leads to, in my opinion, a lot of hate groups.
Okay.
There's also a lot of stereotyping.
Okay. Oh, okay. I can't believe we have you at a loss for words.
I don't.
Well, feel free.
I'm at a loss of words right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, and I think all the variables, all the conditions you have identified collectively definitely contribute to it. Do you feel that, I hate to go back to it, but the presidential campaign, there was a lot of animosity spewed toward individuals who were non-white. It wasn't about African-Americans. It was about Mexicans. It was about Hispanics. It was Muslim. I mean, you feel that that has contributed or influenced the rise in these hate groups
Go ahead.
Also, you said that a lot of these hate groups increase after 2000. We also have 9/11 since then. That could be added a lot to that.
I think when she was at her loss of words, the last thing she stated was very wise, when there's a lot of stereotypes. And I think a lot of what's about the presidential campaign, again, not for or nor against.
No.
I think some of that was very stereotypical.
For sure.
And I think that that's just to go with her point.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that since, I don't know, we see someone with such wealth and such, like, he's
superior.
High class, money-wise, that has a lot of influence. When you see somebody act like that, then you feel like it's okay for you to act like that as well. So I think that that could definitely have been a factor to the rise of hate groups, that since we see people in power kind of mistreating how they use their voice, then you feel like you can also do that as well.
Okay. This is really, off to a side, but do you think that had an influence with the misogynistic behavior that we have also seen? You're nodding your head.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm a big advocate for people who have experienced, like, sexual assault and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this huge Me Too campaign has really brought to light a lot of issues there. Yeah. I feel like just the misogynistic views that Donald Trump has kind of portrayed in the past and past things he's said has kind of been a catalyst for other people to also say things about women or transgender or gay community.
Are we regressing? Because it seems like the progress that we may have made as far as various issues, whether it's gender, whether it's race, are being attacked. So are we regressing at all as a country as far as our standards and our morals and what we hold high, and respecting individual rights?
I feel in certain individual rights that we are.
Okay.
Just in personal relations and just how people choose to identify as themselves, I think that's their choice. And I think that we are regressing in that way instead of progressing.
Okay. What do you think?
I mean, I think she's, I agree with her 100%, to be honest. I don't really have any more to add.
Okay, all right. The question of where free speech begins and where it ends has been a subject of intense debate. Where we draw the line can come down to the question of intent. Take, for example, cross burnings, and the intent was to terrorize blacks. 2003 Supreme Court ruled that some restrictions apply, but practice cannot really be banned. My question is about censorship, and censorship is a word, and it came up in our conversation, so I thought I would jump to this. It's a word that has a lot of meanings. According to the Academic American Encyclopedia, censorship in its broadest sense refers to suppression of information, of ideas, of artistic expression. Do you feel that censorship is it necessary in a really, truly democratic, free society? Do we need to censor anything? Okay.
Can you define it again?
Well, it has a lot of meanings, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
But it really talks about the suppression, okay, of information, of ideas, of artistic expression by anybody, whether it's a government official or church authority, private pressure groups, but you are suppressing these ideas. I mean, for example, there's some books that are censored, and you all aren't allowed to read them in public schools. I mean, so that's the best way
mm-hmm.
that I can, you know, define it and kind of elaborate on what I'm posing to you.
I think that since America is a democracy, that we need to keep our censorship limited, because even though you may not agree with someone, you don't have to silence their voice because they feel like they have a voice as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't agree with things that are happening, then make sure that you're always in contact with, like, legislation people, things that can get law passed for, like, progressive-wise. But I don't think that censorship should be a huge thing that we have, whether it's good or bad.
Okay. Who do you think should determine the censorship? I mean, who is it up to? Okay? Because some things, when we talk about censorship, if I particularly don't like a book and I don't think people should read it, then my opinion is I just don't need to read it. But I don't feel like I should have the right to say, well, Rachel, you can't read the book either because I don't like it.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, I'm going to try to censor this whole book so nobody can read it. And, if there are organizations, if there are various doctrines that you really oppose and you feel should be censored, do you have the right?
I feel like that's hard because whoever you give that to has a lot of power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, William.
I don't really know who to give it to be honest with you, because no matter who you give it to, everyone has an opinion, so there's going to be something that they don't like, and that will be hidden, and it could be key to someone else's point of view or argument, so I don't really know who to give it to be honest.
So another way, are we saying that there's freedom of speech as long as you don't say too much or the wrong thing?
Not at all.
Let's just not censor it.
Everybody has...
yeah, I think...
I mean, everybody has a right to their voice and entitled to say what they want. And if you don't agree with it, you don't have the right to tell them to stop speaking or not speak again about it. I feel like as long as your opinion and your voice isn't inflicting, again, like Will said, on another person's rights, that should be the only limitation that there is. Because you can't get nitpicky and start saying, oh, you can't talk about this, you can't talk about this. Because
mm-hmm.
where do you draw a line? You can't draw a line.
That was my next question.
Exactly.
How do we draw the line?
Everybody has an opinion on everything. Everybody's not going to be happy with, get along with one thing. So I feel like you can't censorship really anything as long as it doesn't harm me as a person, as a being.
But like you said, in the censorship at schools, it's just like I recently stated that it just so be it that you sometimes you do lose rights when you walk onto school campus, and that's nothing that you can really control. So maybe censorship in a school wouldn't be that wrong.
Said it.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, like Lauren or one of them said earlier, it's a large amount of people, and it's, like, highly concentrated with people. So conflict's just bound to happen if you don't censor some things.
Mm-hmm.
But who gets the right to censor it? I don't know.
I definitely agree with what he was saying that, you know, different places have, there's definitely places that should be censored, and different places you go have different rules of censorship where you're not allowed to say some things, or I don't know, like if you go to Sonny's to eat, like you can't not wear pants. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. you have to wear pants.
Right.
Like, just like different things. Like, you have to know, like, etiquette. But.
Well, we are out of time. You probably saw me looking at the clock. I just want to say thank you. I mean, we've raised in kind of a number of issues, had you scratching your head, so I must have done my job. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Team archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.